The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 20, Text 29, given by His Divine Grace, Dhanavir Das Vanachari, on February 16, 1990, in Amsterdam.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 29. Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 20, Text 29. Tam kvanat charana ambojam mada vivala lochanam kanchi kalapa kanchi kalapa vilasat dukula channa rodasam tam kunach charanam bojam madavivala lochanam kanchi kalapa vilasat Tukula Chandarodhasam. Word meanings. Tam, that body. Kvanat, tinkling with ankle bells. Charana Ambojam, with lotus feet. Mada, intoxication. Vivala, overwhelmed. Lochanam, with eyes. Kanchi Kalapa, with a girdle made of golden ornaments. Vilasat, shining. Dukula, by fine cloth. Chana, covered. Rodhasam, having hips. Translation, the body given up by Brahma took the form of the evening twilight when the day and night meet, a time which kindles passion. The asuras, who are passionate by nature, dominated as they are by the element of rajas, took it for a damsel whose lotus feet resounded with the tinkling of anklets, whose eyes were wide with intoxication, and whose hips were covered by fine cloth over which shone a girdle. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As early morning is the period for spiritual cultivation, the beginning of evening is the period for passion. Demoniac men are generally very fond of sex enjoyment. Therefore, they very much appreciate the approach of evening. The demons took the approach of the evening twilight to be a beautiful woman, and they began to adore her in various ways. They imagined the twilight to be a very beautiful woman with tinkling bangles on her feet, a girdle on her hips, and beautiful breasts, and for their sexual satisfaction they imagined the appearance of this beautiful girl before them. Tam kunach charanam bojam madavivala lochanam kanchi kalapa vilasat dukula chanarodasam. The asuras here are described as being very passionate. And even the twilight, they were so much absorbed in thinking of beautiful woman, they imagined that this must also be a beautiful woman. When one is absorbed in something, then he sees it everywhere. It's like one who is absorbed in Krishna. Everywhere he sees Krishna. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santaksadaiva haridayeshu valokayanti yam shamasundaram achinta guna swarupam govindamari purusham tamahamujami. Whatever one's heart is, He will see that. Just like if one has a beloved child, little baby, and that child is missing, then the beloved parents will be thinking of the child all the time, constantly. And if they happen to see some little shoe that belongs to their child, they'll immediately remember the child, and emotions will come. This is on the spiritual side. On the material side, everything reminds them of their cherished desire, which is sense gratification. They can't stop thinking about it. And therefore, now we see that in the Western culture, they've become so degraded that they want to think about it as much as possible, 24 hours a day. They make all kinds of arrangements. They don't even have to imagine the twilight to be the form of a beautiful woman. They actually present the form of a woman in its all its detail as much as possible. Just as early morning is conducive for spiritual life, and the devotees look forward to that, getting up early, and because they know that the Brahma Muhurta period is ideal for spiritual cultivation. It pacifies the mind. Just the whole atmosphere is conducive for spiritual understanding, for chanting, for seeing the deity, hearing about Krishna. Less passion, less ignorance are there in the atmosphere. And later on, especially the beginning of the evening, then passion becomes very prominent. You see the people when they come home from work, driving in their cars. Sometimes they're so angry that if you delay even for a few seconds, at least in America, they'll get out of their car and kick your door or something. They're so passionate. They want to. They rush on the freeways because they want to get home and get into the passionate activities with the wife or girlfriend or whatever. Just the opposite. So since there are several more verses describing this twilight, the form that Brahma gave up, we might as well go ahead and read them since they're all related. Anyonya shlesha yuttango nirantarapayodaram sunasam sudvijam snigda hasali lavalokanam. Her breasts projected upward because of their clinging to each other, and they were too contiguous to admit any intervening space. She had a shapely nose and beautiful teeth. A lovely smile played on her lips, and she cast a sportful glance at the asuras. Adorned with dark tresses, she hid herself, as it were, out of shyness. Upon seeing that girl, the asuras were all infatuated with an appetite for sex. Purport. The difference between demons and demigods is that a beautiful woman very easily attracts the minds of demons, but she cannot attract the mind of a godly person. A godly person is full of knowledge, and a demoniac person is full of ignorance. So we can see which category we fall into here. If we're attracted, then we know we still are in the category. We have that demoniac tendency. And if we're not attracted, then that means we're developing the godly qualities. We should be aware of how we're doing in spiritual life. One way to tell is how much we're becoming detached from the opposite sex, from the desire for sense enjoyment. Because the program of Lord Chaitanya is Vairagya Vidya Nidya Bhakti Yoga. Naturally, one will develop detachment and knowledge. And as one develops knowledge, transcendental knowledge, naturally he'll become detached. They go together. And bhakti yoga is the root of detachment and knowledge. So if one just engages in bhakti yoga, devotional service to Krishna, then naturally he'll lose his attraction for these worldly things. Chanting Hare Krishna, as we were discussing last evening, it cleanses the heart. The heart becomes pure and clean, and then these lower desires, which are instigated by lust and instigated by the mode of passion, ignorance, they disappear. And then the desire of the living entity becomes natural again, pure, just like when one gets free from a disease, then all the troublesome things, the coughing and the sore throat, the sore chest, the temperature, all the symptoms that go along with disease, they disappear as one becomes well. So, we are trying to become well. We are trying to turn down this fever of material life. Not when one has a fever, he should not try to bring it up to 107. He should try to reduce it down to the normal position. So first of all, people have to understand what it means to be diseased. What is the fever? They don't even realize that. They think that this pleasure, the asuras, they think this is very nice. They think this is healthy life. To become absorbed in the opposite sex as much as possible. That's how far astray present-day society has gone. They don't even know what is normal life. What is healthy life? Therefore, they have to be educated. They have to be taught. No, this is not. This is animal life. This is not meant for human beings. As Rishabhdev, Nayam Deho Deho Bhajam, Iloke Kastan Karman Arhate Vidbhujamye. Tapo Dibhyam Puttakayena Sattvam Shujyet Yasmad Brahmasokyam Tunantam. Rishabhdev told his sons, my dear sons, do not endeavor for mundane sex life, which is available to the dogs and hogs who eat stool. Why should you waste your life in that way? Better you engage this human form of life in divine austerities. Tapo Dibhyam. And that will give you unlimited happiness forever. That's the sacrifice we have to make. We give up the immediate so-called enjoyment. That is, there is prayas and shreyas. So the prayas is the immediate enjoyment. But one has to use his intelligence. What will be the result if I engage in this? I'll get sinful reactions. It will cause me to fall from the platform of spiritual life. So he gives it up, the immediate so-called pleasure, and he goes for the long-term, eternal pleasure. And the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that it's so nice that even in the immediate or the short term, it's blissful. That's Lord Chaitanya's mercy and Lord Nityananda. Kevala Anandakanda. Lord Nityananda's program is simply pleasing. This chanting and dancing, taking prasadam. What could be more blissful than that? No anxieties. People are sometimes wondering, why are you dancing and singing in the streets? Why don't you get a job and be miserable like me? Yes, they're miserable. They have so many anxieties, but the devotees have no anxieties. Why don't they have any anxieties? Because they're engaged in their eternal occupational duty. They're engaged in the activities of the soul. And they know that the so-called miseries and problems of this material world, they don't affect me. They don't interrupt my devotional service. Ahoy tukiya pratiyata. Yayadma supasivati. Devotional service should be unmotivated and uninterrupted. That means for one who's fixed in devotional service, even the most dangerous position will not distract him. Even at the hour of death, he'll be fixed in his meditation upon Krishna. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Pasyanti Surya. He's always thinking of the Supreme Lord. Even Prahlad Maharaj, as a child, was so fixed in his meditation upon Krishna that his father put him through the most agonizing tortures we cannot even imagine, worse than psychiatric camps, hospitals, worse than concentration camps. His father put him with snakes, and he had elephants try to step on him, squish him. He had demons try to pierce him with tridents, put him in a boiling pot of ghee. Just imagine, a boiling pot of ghee. But none of these things disturb Prahlad's meditation. Now that is real samadhi. So that should be our goal, how to become so fixed that we cannot but think of Krishna. And we become trained like that, that even in the presence of some allurement, we're no longer attracted. But in the beginning, in the neophyte stage, one should carefully put himself away from the allurements. But later on, one may become so advanced that even if allurements come, it's like Haridas Thakur. It's not that he was associating with women, but even in the privacy of his own cave, he was chanting. He'd gone to get away from all the worldly people, and still some beautiful woman came there to attract him, to allure him, but he was not interested. Continuing in the purport, just as a child is attracted by a beautiful doll, similarly a demon who is less intelligent and full of ignorance is attracted by material beauty and an appetite for sex. The godly person knows that this nicely dressed and ornamented attraction of high breasts, high hips, beautiful nose and fair complexion is Maya. All the beauty of a woman can display is only a combination of flesh and blood. Sri Shankaracharya has advised all persons not to be attracted by the interaction of flesh and blood. They should be attracted by the real beauty in spiritual life. The real beauty is Krishna and Radha. One who is attracted by the beauty of Radha and Krishna cannot be attracted by the false beauty of this material world. That is the difference between a demon and a godly person or devotee. So in Mayapur, one year when Srila Prabhupada was speaking, he was saying that we should become attracted to Radha and Krishna. And actually, Krishna is Madan Mohan. He's the attractor of even Cupid. In the material world, Cupid is shooting his arrows at everyone, and everyone is being pierced practically all over. Everywhere they look, there's Cupid shooting the arrow. So that means everyone's infested with lust. But Krishna is Madan Mohan. He bewilders the mind even of Cupid. In other words, he's more attractive than Cupid. And he will steal away the mind of anyone who looks at him. That statement by one of the gopis to one of her friends, she said, "My dear friend, do not, if you're at all interested in maintaining your attraction for society, friendship, and love, do not look at that beautiful young man, young boy, who's standing in the threefold bending form on the bank of the Keshigat, casting sidelong glances." Why? Because he's so attractive, you'll lose all interest in your family, your friends, society, love. And that's a fact. Krishna is so attractive. Even his name, just see, we were all so absorbed in these material affairs, but by chanting his name and by associating with his devotees, we've lost our attraction. At least we're losing it. We've given it up, at least. That is a step in the right direction. And as we go on, with devotional service, then that attraction will become finally nil, and we'll be completely attracted to Radha and Krishna. We'll have no more interest. Chakva turnam ashesha mandala padi shvenim sada tuchiva. We'll give these things up as insignificant. Or as Jamunacharya, he said that when I think of my former activities in mundane sex attraction, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. Yadavadi mama cheta krishna padada vinde navanavarasa dhamani jitarantamasi tadavadi patanari sangame smarimani bhavati mukavikara sushtuni stivarancha. Why has he given up that taste which everyone is seeking after? Because he's feeling ever newer and newer pleasure from serving Krishna. And that's what we can expect forever and ever. We're going to go on serving Krishna, and it will become newer and newer, because Krishna is the source of, he's the reservoir of all pleasure. And this reservoir is not static, it's ecstatic, it's expanding. Krishna's service is ever blissfully in Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, always increasing in enjoyment. That is devotional service to Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada said, but if you're worshipping Radha and Krishna and you're becoming lusty, because after all, we still have this mundane conception. So, if we're thinking of Radha and Krishna in a mundane way, then he said, stop it altogether and instead worship Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya is Radha Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. He's the combination of Radharani and Krishna. But, Prabhupada said, there's no danger of becoming lusty in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, he's even more merciful. Namo Mahabharanyaya. Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurati Shenama. Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that he doesn't accept any offenses. And because he doesn't associate with, well, he has consorts, of course, as Lord Chaitanya. He was married twice. But generally speaking, the devotees worship him with his associates, such as Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita, Gadadhar, and Srivas, the Panchatattva, rather than with his consort. Because in this particular incarnation, he did not come as the enjoyer. He did not come as the supreme Purusha, but he came as the humble Bhakta. He came in the mood of Srimati Radharani, this time to serve. When he came as Krishna, of course, he had his 16,108 wives, and he had thousands of gopis, and he had so much palaces, all kinds of opulences, enjoyments. He was fighting, he was a kshatriya, he did so many things. But in his incarnation as Lord Chaitanya, no opulence. He wouldn't even accept a bed to sleep on. He wouldn't even accept a blanket. He wouldn't accept any oil. They wanted to offer sandalwood oil to rub on his head. He wouldn't accept that. He was completely renounced. He showed the example of renunciation. But he was dancing and chanting in ecstasy all the time. Hare Krishna. So he showed how we should engage ourselves if we want to get out of this material world, if we want to get free from this attraction to Cupid, lust, then we have to absorb ourselves in the chanting of the holy names. That is the process. Nothing else will be as effective. We can try other things and they will help to a certain extent. We can try to studying, of course, is nice, and reducing one's eating. There are so many things that one can do, to restrain the senses, to try to curb them down. But ultimately, because the impersonalists also do that, but ultimately if one wants to get completely free, then he has to get a higher taste, param drishpa nivartate. Otherwise the taste for sense objects will come back again. Well, in other words, the Bhagavatam describes that one must burn out the root of sinful desires from the heart. And that is this bhakti yoga process. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions? Yes, the demigods may also have some attraction, but they're, because of their having developed godly qualities, they are not attracted to having illicit sex, although sometimes they may manifest that. It's like we know, sometimes they go for someone else's wife. But that is not the normal. That is not the standard. That's an exception to the rule. Whereas the demons or the asuras, that's not the exception. That's the standard practice that they're interested. Now, if someone is still attracted, but he restrains himself, he restrains his senses, and he follows the instructions of the scriptures. For example, there is allowance that one may have a wife. If he wants to associate with women, okay, then have a wife. And then you can associate with women. And you can have sex life for children. That is the consent. The demigods, basically, they're very pious. And they do follow the instructions. Once in a while, they may be affected. But that should not be... They should not be criticized for that. We should try to see the standard of their service. Just like Brahma, he also once became bewildered, and there were six sages, I think sons of Marichi or something. They criticized very severely, and because of that, they had to take their birth. They were cursed. They had to take their birth as... they were born in the family of Devaki, but they were killed immediately by Kamsa as a result. Ultimately, of course, they got Krishna's association, so it turned out nicely. But still, we should understand that the demigods, for the most part, are very exalted personalities, and they do follow the rules and regulations. Yes. There are Sakama devotees and Nishkama devotees. So the Sakama devotees, they still have some material desires to fulfill, even Brahma, even Indra. But because they're submitting themselves to the plan of the Lord, they're working on his behalf under his instruction, therefore they're becoming purified by that. That's the difference. The demons, they don't care for Vishnu. Vishnu gives an instruction, they immediately say, let's not follow this. Let's immediately defeat Vishnu. But the demigods don't think like that. They say, Vishnu wants this, so we must do it like this. Vishnu, it says in the scriptures, we must do like this. That is the difference. How is it that we worship the deities of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda in opulence when in his personal example he wouldn't accept these things? Well, that means even the Archa Vigraha is even more merciful. He's even more merciful now because he's accepting this worship, whereas in his personal presence he wouldn't accept it. Because we know that this form of worship is proper. Because Srila Prabhupada, he instituted it. Not that he instituted it, it had been going on since the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ram Raghava was saying, we worship Gaur Nitai in his Grihastha ashram. He's wearing long hair as a Grihastha, and yes. So, all right, we'll stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.